Hello and welcome to Dive In With Me, the podcast by the Fondation EME, supported by André Loche Foundation and Radio ARA. As you know, we are on air every third Tuesday at 7:30, and you can re-listen to all of our episodes on all the streaming platforms. Today, we are very happy to re-welcome Sergio Roberto Gratteri. If you haven't listened to the first episode that came out last month, I can just recommend you to go listen to it first. Because our conversation was so long, we decided to cut it in half and make two episodes out of it. Today, we will continue our conversation and dive deeper into Homeless Projects with Sergio Roberto, which was supported by the International Yehudin Mehunin Foundation and finished in 2019. Homelands is a really beautiful project that gives artists that are also refugees a new platform, pushes new collaborations and work within the community. But I don't want to say too much about it already, because we will not be able to begin this episode with Sergio Roberto's music. I took the liberty to use one of the songs he'd sent me in preparation. So Sergio Roberto, if you're listening, we didn't manage to add the Kate Bush song last time, so here it is, A Woman's Work by Kate Bush. And we're back to Dive In With Me, a show by the Fondation EME. In our next benefits of music section, we'd like to discuss how powerful music really is, how it can transform lives or be used as a tool. So welcome back, Sergio Gratteri. Let's start with the Homelands Project, which is a community project that started in 2019. Can you tell us a bit more about it? What was the aim of the project? How did you develop it? And I think it ended, no?
No, indeed. It's a project that has ended. It was a 3-year project. It's to say it quickly or easily, it is a project, it's an artistic project where we wanted to give, it started in the middle of the migration crisis. So years ago, and we wanted to give artists newcomers. In the first year was mainly refugees. But artists, we wanted to give them back a space and a place in society, being what they are and what makes them the most happy, which is being an artist. So often we think it's enough to just give a house, to give security or whatever, or that they're safe. And it's not only about artists, but you have so many stories of big surgeons coming from Syria and then they have to work here at the counter, in the Deleuze. I mean, there's nothing wrong with these jobs, of course, but it's not what they have studied for, and it's not that what they wanted to do, how they wanted to contribute to this world. And so to give them back this self-worth and the raison d'être, what makes them happy. And so this, from this perspective, this is one objective of the project. Another thing was, how can we as a society, or how can we first break prejudices towards newcomers? It started in Brussels. I mean, I guess it's the same thing in Luxembourg. It's the same thing in Europe and in the world. There is still a lot of racism. There's still a lot of prejudices on newcomers, what they can mean, especially when they come from the Middle East in the time of the attacks. So it's like they're all terrorists and this kind of thing. So I wanted to find a way to show different stories and different opinions about that, and to show these people for what they really are. And the last thing they are terrorists. But of course, we worked with also people outside of the Middle East, so refugees and newcomers from different corners of the world. But also we can learn a lot about different ways of seeing art, but also different ways of seeing life through different cultures. And I wanted to make that bridge between our local communities and the newcomers, artists. What can they learn from us? Because this is the new home. And what can we learn from them? And I strongly believe that art is a very strong tool to make that bridge and to forget about those differences. So with that in mind, I mean, they're more objectives, let's say, but I also wanted to not only give them a space, but also to make them resilient. And to give them possibility to survive as an artist in our society. So the project that we created around it is very simple. It's a co-creation project for a period of 6 months. So we made a selection of artists, and every artist would first of all create a binôme, so a kind of a partnership, a duo, sometimes even a trio, with someone from a cultural institution or from a social an association. And together with that couple, let's say, they would start an artistic co-creation project with a local community. That can be people, I mean, elderly people in free time. It can be a school. It can be youngsters. I mean, there's no limit to that. And then during that period of 6 months, they would normally meet every week. So they would have a workshop every week, and that would build towards an artistic result. So they would make an exhibition, they would make a theater show or musical performance, whatever it was. but to make them resilient, what we did also, and that was also again, and I can sound sort of soul, and a very important element of the project is to train them. So they got, before the project started, a whole week of residencies together with their partner, let's say, with their cultural partner, in which they would learn what is co-creation, how do we work with groups, how do we make exercises building further on a theme. So these kind of things, how do you create self-confidence, working with art, but in a group, because often they are just individuals making their work, their art in an individual way. And then they have, throughout the project, they have two other extra days where we train them further on things and problems that arise through the process. And it's all, the inspiration of it all is the title of, so the theme is the title of the project, Homelands, Places of Belonging. So the question is here, what does it mean for me to feel at home or to belong to something, to a place, to a community, to a religion, to sexuality, whatever? And it's the common answer. Common means the group answer to that question that is the inspiration for the artwork. So this is what we have been doing for 3 years. It was the plan to do it for 3 years. We have worked in different cities in Belgium. So we were in Brussels, Antwerp, Leuven, Louvain, and Namur. Yeah, that's actually what the project is all about.
That's really, really nice. And how did you get in touch with the artist? How did you find them? Did you work with associations that work with refugees? Really, how did you come to all the musicians and artists that you worked with?
Well, we work also there with associations that work with newcomers, mm-hmm. where we then did a selection, a kind of detection almost, of those newcomers that have an artistic background. And then they would do a first selection, and then I would do interviews with them to understand if they are an added value to the project, and if the added value, the project can be an added value to them. Mm-hmm. Because it is to make them stronger. It's not to give them just a window of their art, for their art. So how can they really be an added value in both ways?
But I imagine it's not only of how good an artist or musician they are, but also which skills do they bring? Are they able to work together with other artists? Are they able to work within a community? I mean, there are so many skills that you need to have besides of just being a very, very good artist, no?
Absolutely. And it's exactly what you say. It's like testing also if these personalities fit, not if they're just good artists and if they have good intentions. They will be leading a project together with their partner for 6 months. You need a lot of skills for that. We can work on a lot of skills, but there's some basic skills that you need.
So for the artist, you go through different kinds of steps to see if they can work together, if they have all the right skills. And then how do you select the communities that you want to work with? Are you working with different associations that already work with different kind of groups, or are you working with the artist? So who can choose who at the end will do the project besides from the artist? Is that you? Are you choosing it in advance? So how does it work?
Yes, and it's a bit of everything. First of all, the target group, we as an organization, we didn't choose them because I find it very important that the local association can choose who they want to work with. Or it's a target group that they already work with, or it's a target group that they always dreamt of working with. And then who am I to say, no, you should work with elderly people, even if you really wanted to work with youngsters. The only task that we had in that is that we don't have five schools, because it was six or seven, sometimes eight projects a year at the same time, that we have a bit of variety and a bit of a representation of society. So in that sense, they could not choose. We asked, though, the artists to what do they feel the most comfortable with? If they say, I really hate kids, then we're not going to force kids onto the person. But most of them are quite flexible, so that was really not the problem. And then also we, because of the interview that I have with the artists, and then parallel to that, I have interviews with possible organizations, and then I do some matchmaking, and then they meet, and then they feel, because I find it very important that they feel not out of guilt almost to collaborate with someone who's new and who's, which is a big pitfall, so that they really feel like, I want to work with this person. And because the duo or the trio, I mean, 6 months every week, you need to become friends. Yeah. If not, it's not going to work. And then mostly the matches that I had in my head, they worked. And if sometimes it didn't, was like, maybe this is not going to work with our target group, or I don't feel it, then we just find another match. But we never had people that we said, oh, no, we cannot work with them, because the selection procedure has been already in different steps.
And do you know if after the project, if the artists still continued working with the communities, did they connect with the people? Do you know if they are still working within the same community? Are they still engaged in it? How did it continue after the end of the project?
First of all, an important objective of this is not just to give them a place and not just to do a nice project around co-creation, but also I wanted to create a new generation of cultural mediators, intercultural mediators. We live in cities. I'm going to take the example of my city, Brussels. It's extremely diverse. I think it's even the second most diverse city in the world after, you know it?
Luxembourg?
No, I wish, but probably on the top 10 to Dubai. And therefore we do a lot of cultural mediation, but it's often the same people doing it. Mm-hmm. It's the locals, it's people, or often also white, but we work then with communities that are not like us, they're not from our culture. And I find it a bit weird that there's no exponent from their own communities that can work with this diversity in society. So for me, it was important to train those people that represent society more and more in this diversity, that they have the tools to become the new mediators. And so that's an important element that I wanted to add. But then to get to your question, it was never the idea of the project so they could continue working with that community, but that they would have the skills to work with that kind of community. This said, we also have to be realistic. We worked with a group of artists in over the 3 years. Some of them continued working in co-creation because for all of them it was very new. Well, for many of us, it's new. So they continue working doing this work and enriching their own artistic practice, going to high levels, some of them even. And some just never went further and fell back on another life. I mean, it's for every artist. I mean, it's not because you're an artist that you will have the biggest success. But friendships, definitely, and context, and artists still working with the organization, definitely. Several of them.
Let's listen to some music. So as you may have heard, we pre-recorded this interview. And so we have already used all the music that Sergio recommended to us in the last episode. So again, if you haven't listened to that, go have a listen. And then he also asked for different favorites from my side. So today we are listening to Romeo and Juliet the ballet from Prokofiev. And we're back. We're still talking to Sergio Roberto Gratieri about the Homelands project. And we were just talking about how projects that go over a long period of time can connect people, not only artists, but also the artists with the community.
Absolutely. And this really happens. So many of those artists, well, even if it's just going to meet, I mean, there's one artist I remember that he worked with a group of elderly ladies, still in touch with them, still visiting them, but at the same time still works with the community center that he was working with. Still, but we also as an organization, because now I'm talking about the different organizations that we work with, but behind the whole project there was a foundation also, which is the International Yehudi Menuhin Foundation. And we had such an overview of all these talented musicians or artists, because it was all disciplines. And then we would have opportunities too. Organizations that wanted to do a co-creative workshop, organizations that wanted to have a concert. I'm just saying. And then we said, oh, well, we have the right person for you. And then I'm not saying we're like a kind of an agent, but it happened organically. And that's beautiful, of course, because we give them opportunities to become and to be and to continue on being professional artists.
Yeah. I know that we just listened to some music, but which song would you link to the project, or to the experience that people go through in the project? Which song means something for you that you can name Homeland and Places of Belonging?
Another classical piece, another opera piece, which I find really beautiful, from the Baroque composer George Frederick Handel. Because I like to clash the different worlds of the project, and then this music. Why this piece? It's a piece from an opera, and it's called Acis Galatea e Polifemo. It's a mythological story from ancient times, where Acis and Galatea were people who, man and woman, who dearly loved each other. And Polyphemo was a giant, like a cyclope, like the one with the big one eye.
Just one eye.
Exactly, if I remember well. But anyway, he couldn't take all that love because he was also in love with Galatea. And so you have this beautiful moment, actually a very sad moment, where he's so angry that he throws, as a giant, he throws a big rock towards Acis, which instantly kills him. And then Galatea is so devastated that she asks the gods to, in a way, make him live again. And they are moved by her tears and said, okay, we cannot make him human again, but we can transform him into a river. And so the blood of Acis will transform into a river. And the song is the moment that she stands in that river, saying that she also wants to go, but she is completely submerged by this love, this water, blood, whatever you want to call it. And this is how, this is just a really a beautiful moment. But for me, a few years ago, it became even more special because I was in Sicily, and there was a place called, well, the different Acis, which actually comes from there. And there's a place, Acitrezza, and now I'm actually forgetting it a bit, but there was a place near to the coast where you see a few rocks in the sea, and according to the legend, it is the rock that Polyphemo threw. Well, it's him who threw it and squashed, therefore, Acis. And so when I saw that and I knew that legend, of course you can say whatever you want from it, but it really is a rock coming out of the sea, and it's not so far from the coast. I asked a local fisherman if he could take me there. And he did. So I jumped into the boat. And then I jumped into the water. And in my head, I had this song that we're going to hear now. But it also made me think of in Sicily, where a lot of refugees land in and die in the sea. So for me, it was very, weird to see the bottom and the toes of this rock, listening to this very sad music of love and hopes that are smashed, and then thinking of so many hopes and families and loved ones that are smashed because of the refugee crisis and the wars. And so that for me, it just all made sense to do the project.
So let's listen to it now.
But while we were talking, Sarah, a few days ago, and also a few hours ago, you also have a link, because I'm very curious to hear your music, and maybe let's get out of the world of classical music. But you also have a link with belonging, what this project is all about. Maybe you want to share that with me and with all of us listening.
So my song. it doesn't have this sense of belonging for me especially. It's more what the song conveys. So the song is Matilda by Harry Styles, which is a song about how a person is not accepted by her family. And how she finds other places where she belongs and where she feels very good. And so that came to mind when we prepared this whole interview or discussion. So maybe let's listen to some Matilda by Harry Styles.
You can let it go. You can throw a party full of everyone you know. Not invite your family.
So what did you think about this song, which in a sense talks about belonging?
Well, I think it is exactly about when you take away the belonging, you have to find it somewhere else. Most of the people want just to feel somewhere at home or belong to something. It's inherent yeah. to our personality. So, yeah, it can be your friends, and often it is creating a new family here. And then I'm talking about refugees and newcomers. Is that they have to find it in different things than what they're used to.
So let's come to the last section of this episode, the recommend yourself section. So what can you recommend to our listeners? It can either be a book, a movie, series, I don't know, some more music. Whatever you like.
It's not really a movie, but it's a series. Mm-hmm. And it's on Netflix, if you have Netflix. And it's called Ethos. So Ethos. In Turkish, I can't remember, but something like... Barashkadir? No, actually, I have no idea. Ethos. And it's about... It's all based in Istanbul. So in Turkey, and it is, I find Turkey a very interesting country, but mostly also Istanbul, and where I will be in a month or two. So I'm looking forward to that. And why is it so interesting? Because you have a break line, like there's a lot of discrepancy between two different worlds. So there is this series talks about this very traditional family, actually a girl specifically, that is, kept small, let's say. It's all about being there for others, for her brother, for her family, a bit forgetting about herself, quite religious also. And she has a problem in a sense, like she then suddenly faints. And so she goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, okay, you have to go and see someone. And then she actually meets her psychologist, which is then a view on a completely different world. So this is the other Istanbul, which is the Taksim Istanbul, which is the Istanbul where you have a lot of mundanity. It's hip people. And also this psychologist is also a woman, like the girl. You can see immediately that they both have
prejudices, a lot of prejudices on the other person. The other one is a bit too traditional, too small, and the other one thinks about the psychologist that she's a bit too, too mundane, too not respectful enough, parties, sex, drugs, all these kind of things. So it's this clash of these two worlds and how these two women grow into each other's world and how they're actually very much interlinked. And it's just, it's beautiful acting. It's really honest. It's reality. I mean, I've seen that reality there, these two different worlds, how they try to live together, because it's really two big chunks of society in Istanbul, especially, which is a capital, but at the same time wanting to be modern, but in a less and less secularized society, which is also interesting because they had to fight a lot with Atatürk, who made it into from a Muslim country into a completely secular country, and then now we have the counter movement. So it's this tension that I find very interesting in this series.
So thank you, Sergio Roberto, for talking to us today about the Homelands Project. Thank you to everyone for listening. They've been with me, the show by the Fondation Aimé, supported by André Loche Foundation. Thank you to Radio Ara for hosting the show and supporting us on this venture, and to Typeburn for a very beautiful jingle. You can also listen to this episode on all the streaming platforms. See you soon.